She wore a disarming, Christ-like smile and had the intensity of a born-again person, though didn't appear irrational. Her spirituality, on the contrary, seemed to us hard-bitten interns to be very practical and down-to-earth. Mary Beth ate poorly and was losing weight. Otherwise, her general health, strength, and ability to move about the hospital, chatting blandly with other patients and health staff during the day, seemed inconsistent with a deep-seated infection or a malignancy sufficient to produce fever of the magnitude and duration of hers. We began to sense the schizoid detachment from her illness, which, with her exaggerated kindness and graciousness, was deeply puzzling. Finally, a couple of us figured out that we'd better face the fact that this could be a Baron von Munchausen syndrome, that is, an illness with ulterior motives and attention-seeking cry. We knew not what we were looking for, only that we had to document every part of the strange illness, including taking her temperature ourselves rather than leaving it to the nurses. Because of what we thought was primness, she would insist that one of the sisters insert the rectal thermometer, which they proceeded to do, and usually left her to complete their temperature rounds, returning to record the temperature. By accident, early one evening, I arrived just as the sister was leaving our mystery patient's room. Pushing past her, I entered just in time to see Mary Beth snatch the thermometer from the top of the radiator and dash it under the covers. Caught at last, she knew it. I knew it. I held her hand and said simply, "Dites-moi tous. Tell me everything." Her story poured out, full of terrors, obscenities that were never a part of my education or even those in Havelock Ellis' documentation of sexual peculiarities. Back, 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 her story went. Having gained her confidence, I interrupted just long enough to ask if she would like Nurse Van Asten to come in before we talked more, to which she agreed enthusiastically. I called for the beaming, hearty Dutch nurse who we had all come to love, and Mary Beth continued her story. Her devoted missionary career, her cries for help, began at age 15 when she ran away from home. She found herself in a Quaker institution for the homeless in Philadelphia, escaping a father she adored, but who preyed on her continually in the most blatant, incestuous manner. How strange it is, 40 years have gone by, and only now do people recognize that many of the syndromes of young men and women with inexplicable, self-destructive behaviors, exaggerated, obsessive preoccupations, relate to this overwhelming, guilt-ridden prison from sexual abuse by a family member. How wonderful it is that public figures are coming out with their stories and that such people no longer feel alone, that such victims can eventually rid themselves of the guilt, if not from their deepest wounds of shame and revulsion. What of the wretched people who force themselves on their children and loved ones? What is there to offer them? Must we only push them into denial, criminality, and prison? Mary Beth's case was surely the toughest one of FUO, fever of unknown origin, that I ever encountered.